He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Yeah. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. Yes, 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 he is indeed exalted. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I say that every time they have me up there, they done messed up because I am at liberty to say what I have to say. So, Chiron, if you're watching, you done messed up. But I am excited to see you all. I am happy to be here with you this morning. My name is Ricky Pierre. For those who don't know me, and for those who do know me, I'm glad I don't owe you anything. We are delighted, nonetheless, to be here in this moment. We have a few things we're going to take care of before we jump in our message today, our discussion today. And some of these things refer to some of the things we've heard before. And we have to celebrate a little bit, all right? Today, I have the pleasure to celebrate my anniversary with my lovely wife. It's been a journey. Woo! Come on, somebody. It's been a journey. And, you know, the little thing I wanted to do since Jason told me last time I'm doing too much. But, you know, Jason, you cannot stop praising when God blesses you. You know what I mean? So, you cannot stop me from acknowledging the goodness of God in this moment. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. I forgot what I was supposed to bring for her. But what one thing we do have, baby, come on. One thing we do have amongst each other is that we both share our love for simplicity and the deeper meaning of certain things. So I'm going to call her up, and I'm going to give her something, and that's going to symbolize what it was I was supposed to give her this morning. And only she can understand what's going to be given to her, as it was given to her about 11 years ago when I asked her to be my partner in life. Improvise, guys. We gotta improvise. If you didn't know, I'm not gonna explain exactly what just happened, but I know she knows exactly what that symbolizes. Okay, fine, I'll tell you. About 11 years ago, I told her that my gift to her is my heart. And because I forgot the symbolism of heart, your boy went and, you know, cut up some paper, some in the shape of a very 4-year-old heart-ish. And you know what? You know what I like with my wife? This alone will get her to later on say, babe, you're the best. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody. So I love my wife, and I love her simplicity, and this is just a testament to what we share. I thank you, and I pray that God continues to help us. Jess, I'm talking to you. To help us in the process of growing and continue to grow together. And I truly, truly am blessed, and I recognize it, as you are too, because I know what God has made of me since then. So I thank God for us, and I thank God that we have more to face together. I thank God for that. Also, you know, when I come up here, I have to bless somebody. I have to bless them. I need somebody to get up and come right next to me. If you're brave enough to come right next to me, come on up. No one? Really? Oh, so you must not be used to me. Oh, you're coming. You're coming, my sister. Okay. So one of the things I love doing as well is understanding that we have to bless somebody. We have to share the blessing with sharing. So my sister, you are going to choose between these three what you want. What you want. Blessings on blessings. There you go. Yes. So which one do you want? Which one do you want? Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you for being brave to come up. It's always good to be brave. Now, I'm looking for a young person. I know the youngsters went to Teen Encounter. I'm looking for a young person to be brave enough to answer a question for me. A young person under 18. They both got up. My mercy. Okay. Nate, you ready for this? The question is, what was the sermon title I last preached here? Come on, somebody. Help them out. It's a group affair. Help them out. What was the sermon title? If you don't know, you ain't getting none. Come on now.
Big picture?
The big picture. He got it. Come on now. Nate pays attention. He pays attention to whispers. All right? He pays attention. All right? Nate, listen. This is for you. Do not let your dad. Kevin is here? Oh, snap. Okay. This is for you. Don't let your dad have it. Okay? All right. He's gonna put it in your hand. All right. Give him a round of applause. Everybody. Last but not least, I want someone whose favorite color is gray to stand up and be truthful, please. Gray, the color gray. Your favorite color is gray? And we need to pray for him. Come on up. Gray is your favorite color. It's a nice color. Debatable. This is for you, and don't let nobody see. Go ahead and buy yourself some tea, because, you know, us 7 Day, there's a conception out there. We don't drink coffee, all right? So we go some good tea, you know, chamomile tea or something like that to, you know, help your soul feel better, all right? Be blessed. If you would indulge me as we start, we want to open our Bibles together and read Psalm 46. And I ask you to stand with me as we read Psalm 46. It is on the screen, and we're going to read together. On three. 1, 2, 3. God is our and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though okay, we're getting there. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her in that right. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. Let's share together, Father God, and let us remember these concepts that you've shared with us. It is very simple, Father God, but in this simplicity, we tend to forget how great you are. In this moment, we ask that you give us more your Holy Spirit, that we may share what we have to share and be edified and apply it in our everyday life. In the Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be seated, please. Story time. There was a girl, for the purpose of the story, there was a girl named Aisha. Aisha was from the background of India. Her family was from India, and they have migrated here in America. Aisha was a youngster who started going to school and high school here in America. So a little thing about Aisha. Aisha loved her culture. Aisha loved to learn about her culture. Since a young age, her relationship with her father was pristine. Very close. So close that every question she would have, she would go to her father and ask the question. Every time she thinks of something culture related, she would ask a question. And those questions would be as deep as, why do we do certain things? Why do we eat the way what we eat? Why do we go to this temple and worship the way we worship? Why do we believe in certain things that we believe in? Aisha was so curious that even in the problems that she would meet in life, she would come across some of these challenges, and she would run to her dad and tell, hey, dad, I have this kid at school tell me that I look weird. Why is that person telling me I look weird? And the dad would always answer, always advise, always counsel, always respond to all of her curiosity. So if I had a title for this message this morning, as I discuss Aisha, it would be the word access. Access. So Aisha had access to greater wisdom and her father. A little bit more about Aisha. Aisha was very applied academically. And the more applied she became, the more successful she became academically. So you're talking about top tier, top of the line, and especially in her culture, that is encouraged, right? A lot of folks from this background take academics seriously, and they take their reputation seriously, for most. Now, Aisha, as she grew, she learned that any small problem, she had access to her father, where she would go and learn a little more. Now, there's a very distinct thing Aisha would do. She would ask her father permission to approach, and then they would have that conversation. She would ask permission to have that conversation with her, with him. So as they have that conversation, the father started to tell her, you do not need to ask for permission to have this conversation. But of course, Aisha continued to be obedient, continued to be culturally aware, because in a cultural sense, she had to ask permission to approach. So in her approaches, Aisha was very attentive. And some of the things she heard is, the reason why we do certain things is because we believe in this. And because we believe in this, we do that. So because we do this and that, we in turn become more successful in life. So Aisha was very set in her ways. Another thing Aisha did, she was very intentional about safekeeping these concepts learned from her dad. So because Aisha built such an outstanding academic profile and reputation, she became very popular in her school. She became very well known as the girl who took care of business. So anywhere she went, everyone expected, Aisha's here. Tighten up, because things will be tightened up. You know, Aisha walks in the door. We know it's about to get serious because Aisha is very well structured and she takes care of business. Unfortunately, just like every teenager in America, Aisha started to develop. Aisha started to experience what we all call an identity challenge. Aisha started experiencing some challenges that all our teenagers at the time of high school experience, where they start seeing different people do different things, and they start wondering why certain things are done the way they're done. Her questions, however, remember, any challenge she had, she would run back to dad. But she became less confident that Dad had the answer to these challenges. Now, in her effort to, you know, preserve the cultural norm, she would still talk to her father the same way she would talk to her. They had permission to approach, but it became less and less, sharing, less and less details provided in her stories. And the less details she gave, the more general the counsels were, because there were no details provided. Are you following me? It's like someone telling you a story. You don't know the details, so you don't know where to go with it. You don't know what to say. Because you don't know what to say, you give a very general advice, just in case, you know, they have the intention of doing certain things based on what you say. So you say something very general. It looks something like this. Sister Shireen comes to me and says, hey, by the way, disclaimer, I'm not a provider. I'm not a medical person. Just putting it out there. Sister Shireen comes and says, I have a headache. And in my headache, I just feel a little dizzy. But that's it, though. Other than that, you know. So I'm asking questions. Sister Shireen, have you eaten anything? Have you drank any water? But Sister Shireen just evades the questions and doesn't answer those questions asked, right? And my counsel, since I know Sister Shireen is not going to share Kevin, what am I going to do? I'm like, you know what? I ain't no doctor. So Sister Shireen, you know what? She's whispering, you drink water. And my infinite limited wisdom in the medical field, I would say, you know what? Maybe you should rest. Just sit down a little bit. Just sit down a little bit and rest. I did my part. I feel like I did my part because I gave you an advice. You came to me. I gave you a response, and my job here is done. I moved on. So that's the type of transaction it became between Aisha and her father. But growing up, remember what we said. She had access to this greater wisdom in her father. But unfortunately, she decided to restrict her own access by creating what we call a barrier between her and her father. By the way, if you so get up and go to the bathroom, by the time you get back, we'll be done. Just letting you know. Sophie. So Aisha started restricting her own access to her father's wisdom. The more it happened, the more she felt like her father was becoming useless. What her father used to tell her in the past that used to be very helpful and directives that he used to give her steps by steps as to how to go through these challenges became more and more general. Therefore, to her, it became useless. And the minute it started becoming useless, she started to not see why she would have to go to her father for the problems she had. Come senior year of high school, Aisha had the chance to apply for colleges. And here, Aisha started facing what we call a decline in her academics. So she started self-doubting. She started seeing her grades go down, and she never had that problem before. So she didn't know how to react because she no longer had that access. Also, in her mind, she restricted that access she had to her dad. So she didn't know what to say to her dad. And let me stress how important it is in this culture to look good academically and to act a certain way. The amount of pressure she faced from her family to continue her success was so tremendous that she started starving herself, because she saw that those challenges she faced, she's alone in it, and she no longer had access to what she had access before. So as she declined, things started getting bad. She started applying to colleges, and college, oh my goodness, she got a rejection letter, and this is the day she broke down. That feeling of rejection broke her spirit, as she has never experienced such a thing. She was always on top of everything, no reproach. But that day, she did not know what to do. Now, this is not your typical story because everything was going well for her. She's well-raised, she's well-fed, she's well-dressed, everything is going right for her. But then she goes and restricts some access that she had to the gold mine, and now she finds herself struggling, but kind of self-created, right? How many times that we do that to ourselves? How many times that we know we have access to something greater, but we don't use those means because we restrict our access to those greater powers? So you see, what I'm here to say today is very simple. No, I'm not wrapping up yet. I'm not. But it's very simple. In Aisha's case, she self-restricted herself. Well, she self-restricted, and that caused a blockage in the access of power that she had. Because she blocked her way to the power, her perspective changed, and she, in her mind, became a limited being with no capacity for what she was facing, which means she started to believe that what she's facing, it has to be only her in this situation, and there's no remedy, there's no way to fix what she's going through. She is all alone. She started not eating. She started not taking care of herself, and it became apparent. It became revealing that she was going through something. She started not being social anymore. She started being less of a leader. She couldn't go anywhere without being noticed as the girl who used to be on top of things. But now she's the girl who, I don't know, girl, you got to take care of yourself. I don't know what's going on, but we see it. We see it. You know, your hair is not done as well. Your demeanor has changed, and it's showing. The Bible has numerous examples of the same stories that address this type of blockage that we allow ourselves to have. And these blockages can reveal themselves in the shape of shame and guilt. Aisha became, she felt shameful. She felt inadequate. She felt not enough. She felt not worthy of coming in front of her father because she brought shame to the family. She brought shame to the culture. She was not able to meet expectations set by all around her. And because she experienced that shame, she stayed in that same stage where that shame prevailed and stopped her from accessing that greater power that she has access to. How many times we allow ourselves to stay in that stage? That stage of shame and guilt that beats us so bad, that makes us look bad in front of God, so we think. That makes us think that we're unworthy to come in front of God right now. That makes us think that we're not ready for communion. That makes us think that we're not ready for church, or we're not ready to serve in church. That makes us think that we're not worthy to carry out the message of God or to do something that God has delegated to us at that moment. How many blessings we've missed out on because we've allowed the shame and guilt to take over our responsibilities. The message is really simple, y'all. I am here today to remind you that in Psalm 46, that God is, still is, our refuge. So that same access you had as a little kid, just like Aisha, to go to your father as you were young in the faith, that same access you had that you believe you had is the same access you had when you're out there doing something you're not supposed to do. That same access that God has promised in the book of the Bible that you have, despite What the flesh is pushing you to do is the same access you still have right now. So stop restricting yourself and access that higher power. Some examples in the Bible we can take is Adam and Eve. If we go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3 more specifically, we start seeing that Adam and Eve, because Eve had supposedly been, sinned, in that case she was deceived. Instead of repenting and going back to God, they were covered, what? They felt ashamed because they were naked, right? They gave more space to that shame and guilt instead of giving place to repentance that takes place, that gives us direct access to God. Another example is the story of David and Bathsheba. David was extremely elaborate in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, extremely elaborate on having access to God. He was called a man according to God's heart, right? He had full access to God, and he knew it. But David and his iniquity was very intelligent in accessing that sin very elaborately. I mean, that was a full plan if y'all read 2 Samuel 11 and 12. I mean, David was like, hey, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to send the husband here, right? We're going to send him to war. And then when he done did what he did, that didn't stop there. He done did the do, and the do started reflecting, right? He then called the husband and was like, you know what? I'm trying to cover my sin here. I'm not going to go back to God for God to forgive me. I'm going to do it myself because I know I am king. I am David, you know? I got it like that. So he called the husband and tried to get the husband to be with the wife so he can cover his own sin. David, the man according to God's heart, fell back into his own abilities and started scheming, plotting, and trying to cover his own sin. Unfortunately, he was not successful, and then long story short, he still tried to get the husband to, you know, get in trouble. Long story short, the husband dies, and then he ends up taking her. Anyways, we all know the story. But again, the clear example here is that David could have been stuck in that shame and guilt part. But because he didn't allow himself to get stuck in that shame and guilt, he knew that he had to return to God. He returned to his own ways. Did he suffer the consequence? Do you remember what the consequence was? His son died. That lets you know what you're doing has consequences, yes. But it still doesn't mean that God is not with you in that moment. So David understood the type of access he had. And when he got back into his senses, he went back to the type of access he had in Jesus. Another example I have in the Bible is John 8, the woman caught in adultery. That woman could have been distraught and given up based on how society was treating her. Boy, that societal pressure, those societal constructs are tough. Society tells us to act a certain way or you're not qualified to walk in public. And when you don't act a certain way or you decide to be a little reserved, you become weird. And in your weirdness, you are judged, called upon, pointed at, I mean, you name it, made fun of. And just like that lady in John 8, caught in adultery, red-handed, cannot deny it, society was ready to crucify her. But yet, here comes Jesus and saying that, oh, they're not crucifying you? They're not condemning you? They're not throwing rocks at you? I'm not throwing rocks at you either. Understanding that in Psalm 46, that God is our refuge, and the access we have to God is greater than any sin that we as human beings are doing right now. So keeping that in mind, you have access. Another example I have for you is the blind man. The blind man, according to society, those Pharisees were accusing him of sinning so much that God saw fit for him to become blind, right? Blaming him for everything he's done in his life incorrectly and assuming that it must have been because of your sins. That's why your deformity, what you don't have that is common, is a result of your sins. So imagine hearing that all your life, that you're not adequate because you did this. And here comes Jesus, reminding him that he has access to greater power. Another example I have for you is the prodigal son. The prodigal son in Luke 15. This guy could have stayed in his shame and guilt, self-created. He thought he knew better from his father, and he thought he was able to do better than what his father had for him. Case in point, Aisha. He took what was his inheritance, and he went out there and did what he did. We all know the story. But again, he was humiliated. He was prideful, you say. He didn't want to return to his father because he knew he'd done messed up. He looked himself as inadequate, insufficient, not enough. Because, oh man, I thought I knew, but life had a way of humbling me and humiliating me in the process. Now I'm too dirty to come back to my father. But when that period of shame and guilt had a hold of him, he remembered he had greater access. So he understood that he did not have to stay in the state of shame and guilt. He understood that the sacrifice that his father, what his father had in his house and how he was living, that if he were to go back, he would be received in open arms, and he would access those greater things that his father had for him. So he did not allow himself to stay in that stage of shame and guilt. They all remembered what kind of access they had. And that kind of access, my friends, is clearly depicted through the book of Psalms, just like the lesson told us today. That kind of access is the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ himself made for us. Therefore, if you believe in that type of sacrifice, if you believe that Jesus is in fact your Lord and Savior, you will remember that no matter what you do, that you have access to greater power. So with that being said, this is very simple. When you are comfortable believing that God himself has given you a greater access, you get comfortable in coming and pleading in front of God. Because no matter what challenges you face, whether it be homelessness, whether it be losing a job, whether it be people calling you out, whether it be not being able to make friends, whether it be people calling you weird because you believe in certain things, whether it be someone just crucifying you for no reason. But because you know you have that greater access, you're comfortable in coming and making that request of God. And that request can look something like this. It can look something very similar to what this author, this songwriter had in mind. And Zacharia Cortez, and he sings it like this. Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord. Do it for me. Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. Oh, Lord, do it for me. And if that's not enough, you just go and implore God to say something in your situation, because you know that the sacrifice that Jesus himself has made for you is worth the thought process of knowing that you have greater access. You have access to greater power. And if you keep that in mind, there's certain things you can say, just like this. You say, you go ahead and say, just like Zacharia Cortez say, Lord, fix it for me. Oh, Lord, fix it for me. Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve. Oh, Lord, fix it for me. And it gets a little more personal, because I remember in my own state, I remember that, well, I didn't remember because I forgot that I had access to that greater power, and I stayed in my shame and guilt. Just this week, God had to remind me that Jesus died for a reason, my brother. Jesus died for you and for me, and he does not want you to stay in that state of shame and guilt. You miss out too many blessings when you stay in that shame and guilt, thinking that you're not enough. I'm here to remind you that you belong to someone who has had a plan from the beginning of time. It is time that you remember who you are as a person, as a son and daughter of God. Remember that you have access to greater power. And just like that, you get comfortable and you sing something like this. Something like this. Hopefully my voice can hear. Help me out, because my voice is going out. Go ahead, praise him.
Lord, do it for me.
He has given us access to greater power, and I need you to remember this.
Oh, Lord,
every time something happens in your life,
for me.
Every time you have challenges that the devil throws your way,
if
just
you
like Job,
just don't do
you're going to remember
it.
That, hey, I remember who my Savior is, and because I remember, this is not going to faze me. I'm going to remember that I can boldly approach the throne of God and say, one more time,
Lord, do it for me.
Start to remember that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross is something that if you don't believe in it, that's why the first step is to believe, right? Just like John 3:16 says, whosoever believes. That's the first step. It takes some gut to believe in that. And once you believe in that, there's nothing that should separate you from that greater power that God has for you. So I understand sometimes we forget, right? Sometimes we forget. But then that's where these stories in the Bible reminds us that God is still God and God is our refuge. And in him we trust, just like the bills say. In him we trust, but this time it's for real. Because you trust in him, no matter what comes your way, you're human, yes, you're going to feel bad, you're going to feel shame, you're going to feel guilt. But remember, you have to get up and remember that God has saved you from the iniquities of sin. And remind yourself that you ought to continue your battle here. So I'm just here to remind you of the access you have. And be comfortable in calling on God, because he has promised us that he will be with us and help us in the midst of all these struggles. The first thing is to trust, right? The second thing is through the relationship you've built with him. Just like David, a man after his heart, he says in Psalm 18, verse 6, David cries out, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." David teaches us the importance of worship. And his life reminds us that calling on God isn't just about asking for help. It's about maintaining that close bond that you have, that in times of trouble, you instinctively go back to him. Another example again, Daniel trusting God in adversity. In Daniel 6, verse 10, he says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, and that's when, you know, the prayers should be addressed to the idol alone, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows was open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. And that he had done for what he had done before. And Daniel's consistency in prayer reminds us of that strong relationship with God. And also it reminds us that we ought to stay in communication constantly with God. This is the type of access that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross gave to us. Straight access to God. The last example I have for you is Paul. Finding strength in weakness. Because God said, when you're the weakest, that's when I show up. That's when I show up and take the reign. Because you have to understand that you cannot without him. And once you invite him to come in, boy, oh boy, he steps in like Martin Show, just like kick the door down and say, here I am, let's get it. That's the type of God he is. And 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So I'm telling you, I'm reminding you that the type of access you have, you ought to remember, because that's going to help you. Even when you haven't eaten for 2 days, you're going to be walking in the streets like this, well-dressed, looking fresh, hair done, nails did. You're going to be acting like nothing is wrong. You know why? Because you trust God. You know you have access to things greater. And if your flesh reminds you of your situation, tell your flesh that you are comfortable in approaching the throne of God and say, hey,
Lord, do it for me.
You're comfortable saying that because you know God will come through. You know he will come through. My appeal today is simple. The prayer I'm going to make is to help you and I keep that in our mind, engraved in our mind, the type of access we have to God. That way, when you step out of here and you go and face that, God forbid, I'm not wishing that on anyone, that flat tire, you know, in your full suit, you have a flat tire, Robert, you know? No, you're looking good right now, brother. And you go out there, you get a flat tire, and you know you're the man, you got to change a tire, and you have no clue how to change a tire. No, Robert knows how to change a tire, guys. But that you are reminded that this is nothing. God told me in his promises that he will always be there for me, no matter what I go through. And he will see us through till the end. If this is your prayer, please stand with me as we pray to close. Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord, do it for me. Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. Oh, God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, have no fear. Though the earth is removed, though the mountains be carried, have no fear. Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with their dwelling, therefore have no fear. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place and of tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on this earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for reminding us what kind of access was given to us at the cross. Father God, we ask that you help us remember this type of access, this type of greater power that may come in handy in these daily trials that we may face. Whether small or big, it is our perception that allows these problems to become real problems. Father God, I'm praying for each person here that as we remember the type of access we have, that this problem may be seen as just a stepping stone to the next level in this game of life. In this moment, God, I want to pray for each person here that when they go out there, they can say with confidence that I have access to God himself, and if God is for me, who shall be against me? Father God, we say this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed.